Today, we invite you to travel back through nearly a century of local aviation history, an era when dozens of small airfields dotted the Mahoning Valley, each playing its own part in shaping the region's identity, its economy, and its aviation legacy. Though many of these airfields have vanished from the landscape, their stories continue to remind us how deeply flight has been woven into the life of this community. Our story begins in the early 1930s, when the Mahoning Valley saw the birth of its first generation of airports. One of the earliest was the original Warren Airport, appearing on sectional charts as early as December 1932. It sat on the west side of Warren as a municipal and commercial airfield, a simple grass runway with a circular airport marker and a few small hangars. Children rode their bicycles out to the hangars to buy 5-cent Cokes and watch airplanes taxi across the grass. It was at this very airfield on July 26, 1936, that a quiet 6-year-old boy named Neil Armstrong climbed aboard a Ford Tri-Motor and took his first flight, a moment that sparked the dream that would carry him all the way to the moon. By 1950, Warren Airport featured a 2,500-foot unpaved runway, but its days were numbered. That year, it disappeared from charts, closed shortly thereafter, and was replaced by a larger field farther west. Its hangars faded through the 1970s and were gone by the 1980s. Yet the land would live again in the 2000s. A community park rose on the site, complete with a half-scale Apollo lunar module, honoring the child whose first taste of flight happened there. While the original Warren Airport carried the city's earliest flights, Port Warren Airport, north of the city, emerged between 1938 and 1940. By the 1950s, it had taken the name Lion Airport, featuring a 2,600-foot grass runway and rows of T-hangars. It served flight schools, Civil Air Patrol training flights, and local pilots who remembered first lessons in fabric-covered cubs. Lion Airport thrived into the early 1970s, appearing on sectional charts as late as 1974, with a 2,900-foot runway. But urban expansion crept in, and by the early 1980s, the land had been replaced by industrial warehouses. Today, no trace remains. But for decades, it served as a gateway to general aviation for the northern Mahoning Valley. Further south in Warren stood Hall Airport, first charted in 1932. It was operated by one of the region's most storied aviators, an early flight instructor who trained pilots before, during, and after World War II. By 1950, the field featured a single east-west runway with three or more small aircraft parked beside its hangar. Hall Airport remained active into the early 1970s, with sectional charts listing a 3,500-foot unpaved runway as late as 1972. But as the city expanded, houses crept in on both sides of the runway, leaving little room for safe operations. The field closed between 1972 and 1974, and by the early 2000s, new streets and homes erased its final traces. Today, the Ernie Hall Aviation Museum preserves the legacy of Ernie Hall, as well as the men and women who once trained there. One of the most active post-war airports was Austintown Airport, established around 1947. With a 3,100-foot grass runway, the airport housed up to 20 aircraft and boasted a busy maintenance shop. A DC-3 even landed and departed from its grassy strip, proof of the enthusiasm and confidence of its operators. Families remembered seeing Cessna 195s loading stretcher-bound passengers for medical flights to Florida, a testament to the community service woven into everyday airport operations. Austintown Airport peaked in the 1950s, and by 1960, it disappeared from sectional charts. The land soon gave way to a housing development, though two of the original airport buildings survive today, silent reminders of the airfield that once buzzed with weekend flights and cross-country departures. Boardman's major airfield began as Southern Airways Airport, appearing on maps in 1947. A flight school, charter service, and maintenance center, The airport possessed both grass and gravel runways and a reputation for vibrant activity. By the late 1950s, the airport was rechristened Boardman Air Park, still operating two runways, Piper Colts and Cherokees for training, and even warbirds like T-6 Texans maintained on site. Local youth would bicycle to the fence to watch twin-engine Beechcraft rumble down the runway. Civil Air Patrol units trained here, and the field remained active through the 1960s. Boardman Air Park disappeared from charts between 1970 and 1972, replaced by neighborhood streets. By 1994, nothing remained but memories of a bustling, community-centered flight school. Among the Mahoning Valley's former airfields, Youngstown Executive Airport was one of the most active and influential. Built between 1960 and 1962, it opened with a 3,000-foot asphalt runway, soon extended to 4,200 feet to support a wide range of general aviation aircraft. What truly set it apart was its role as a major Cessna dealership, offering brand new aircraft that fueled a bustling flight training program. Students and private owners filled rows of T-hangers, and charter operations sent Cessna Twins and Beech 18s on nightly cargo flights for Packard Electric, connecting the valley to Detroit, Oshawa, and Indiana. Executive Airport also became a vibrant community hub. Annual fly-ins brought pilots from across the country, and families lined up for beloved penny-a-pound airplane rides. On weekends, the runway transformed into a drag strip, drawing large crowds as aircraft operations paused for racing. Through the 1970s, it was one of the liveliest airfields in northeastern Ohio. A tornado in the mid-1980s destroyed the main hangar and much of the resident fleet, beginning the airport's decline. Activity dwindled over the next decade, and by the early 2000s, Youngstown Executive Airport was officially closed. Today, parts of the runway remain for radio-controlled model flying, a quiet echo of the Cessnas, Beeches, and DC-3s that once filled its skies. What unites these stories is the unmistakable truth that aviation mattered deeply here. It brought industry, connected families, launched careers, and inspired generations. It was here that a boy took his first flight and later walked on the moon. It was here that local entrepreneurs built businesses on grass strips. It was here that pilots flew freight through the night, joyriders paid pennies for adventure, and children on bicycles pressed their faces to the airport fence, all feeling the same spark that changed Neil Armstrong's life in 1936. Most of these airfields now lie beneath neighborhoods, businesses, and parks. The grass has grown back, the runways have faded, but the legacy of the Mahoning Valley's airports endures, in photographs, in memory, and in the heart of a community shaped by flight.